voice of Pacifica Radio.
Anasot Radio Pacifica.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Flying in Missing Geek formation, it's Technology Bites. Yeah, you guys, everything's a little quiet on this end. I don't think it's your volumes. I think something's going on in here, maybe. They're up.
I am the voice of Pacifica Radio.
Anasot Radio Pacifica al KPFT 90.1 FM for Houston.
Unasikiza 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Yawad hai Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Oh hi Pacifica Toy Kissing Scene.
Chaliye, aaj hum sab mil karke.
1 2 1 2. I think we're back. Perfect show. So where is it that
there,
we get such a perfect
show? There are
show?
Buttons pushed that aren't supposed to be pushed, so
the,
I'm
the,
pushing
the break everything
again.
Button is on. Button yeah. Mashing.
That's all right. I mean, poor Groovehouse was thrust into a position of responsibility that he was ill-prepared for, and I haven't been in the control room in so long, I have no idea.
Wait, you wanted him to take calls again? Oh, just work the board. Okay.
And as far as Pete goes...
We can't. Well, there's two channels on that, right? One is the HD channel, and
which
the,
we heard earlier.
Yeah,
and the,
And the other one should be Pete.
Right.
The show within a show.
Let's see. To check the master volume on the board above the CDs says Afflicted. That's what I thought, too. But now we got it, I think. Afflicted. Thank you. He's able to text us. I don't know how he's texting us and still trying to get here.
On a motorcycle.
I don't think he's on a motorcycle.
Is Pete there? I don't know.
I'm talking.
Yes! Yes! All right, slowly grinding this show to a start.
And he's extra loud tonight.
That's good. I don't mind that because it was ultra quiet earlier.
Last time, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, even us.
Yeah, it was very quiet earlier.
All right, so welcome to Technology Bites, everybody.
We think.
Yeah, we hope. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's freaking out.
Here, man. Game over.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Terry Laffey says, Terry is still telling us to turn audition off.
Turn audition off, like Adobe Audition?
No, he's trying to give remote control. I think we got it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, everything's good.
That sounds good. Yeah. This is great.
Good.
This is awesome. This
everything is wonderful.
This is 20 plus years of experience coming to bear.
It wasn't so good earlier.
No.
But now it's good.
Well.
Is there a 2-minute duck button?
4 minutes.
Yeah, the podcast is really nice.
Mulligan. All right. So anyway, here we are, Technology Bites, and
maybe
on time.
Is that me?
Oh my gosh!
No, that's me. It's Afflicted. He's saying he's about 2 minutes away.
Doesn't he know we're on?
Doesn't matter
there.
Now. Take your time.
Just
keep on driving.
He pulls over to send the text. I hope.
North.
4 minutes. I mean. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. You know, 2016, right? Yeah, 2016.
Second show, 2016.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
It's just like the second show we ever did.
Only not as polished.
Yeah, we probably cared more on the second show. All right, so welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in. We're glad you were able to tune in. We're glad we gave you something to tune in to. So visit us online.
Huh? Something to talk about.
Hey, point and laugh. Whatever it takes. So if you want to learn more about the show, go to geekradio.com, assuming the website works.
It's probably down.
It's probably down or probably has some bad HTML in it.
Everything's down.
The website's down.
Hold on.
Got to get the website up.
Arvada.
Is this your desktop? Wow.
Now I got to play doorman, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, the buzzer doesn't work here at the station either.
All right.
Well, I think the buzzer in here might work.
Oh.
But I don't think the buzzer out there works.
Now no one's in the booth. Now we're careening towards crashing.
We're careening towards success.
Careening towards something.
Falling upwards.
All right. So at any rate, and also besides the website, you can hang out with us on IRC.
If that even works.
Yeah, that usually works. That's the actual show within a show.
Right.
It's the IRC.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
So you can hang out with us there in the channel Tech Bites. And like it's been mentioned, it is the show within a show. It's good fun there, I think, maybe.
Afflicted, save us. He doesn't have his ears on yet.
No. Kudos to Groovehouse. He did the best he could.
No, those are
he's such
ears.
A special guy.
They're just stretched.
So what's going on in there, sir?
Why does it why does it smell like soiled drawers in here?
Why do I get all my texts twice? I just got another text.
It might be Barrett, he's a little under the weather.
No, don't put this on me, sir.
Wow.
I maintain my composure on the side of the plexiglass.
Thanks to everyone who came out to the Geek Gathering, by the way. That was good fun. We had a good time. The weather was not cold at all. Just haily.
Yeah, did we even get a fire pit?
No. Fire pit. Maybe next month.
Yeah, we don't have too many more cold chances at Geek Gathering.
No, be pretty much.
Before where were you, by the way, Lee?
Carpet
called here, stand.
On Friday?
Yeah, you said you were coming out.
That Geek Gathering thing we do?
I was working on Friday.
Oh, I thought you were on vacation still.
No.
No?
No.
No.
No, I was working. I was trying to finish a piece that should be running, in fact, this Friday. I was actually out. For you aviation geeks, I was out at Ellington with a very nice fellow named Rick Sharp, who is a pilot and was operating sort of as a representative of the the Collings Foundation and the Vietnam War Flight Museum, looking at there's a bunch of beautiful Cold War era jets out there that they operate and restore. And I got a really nice tour of the they have an F-4 Phantom, they have an A-4 Skyhawk, they have an F-100. Yeah, it's just in Ellington Field. They have an F-100 and they have a MiG-21. Didn't get to ride in any of them. We got to crawl all over them and photograph them and hear a little bit about the process of restoring old jets and the.
Were they armed, like Soviet era Cold War?
No, they are. They are disarmed. They are civilianized, but they are not demilitarized. So they are still.
What does that mean?
So, we actually talked about this kind of in depth. I don't know how much of it's going to make it into the piece, but for the U.S. government to sell fighter jets to private parties, typically they require the jet to be fully demilitarized, which in government terms means punching holes in the wings, removing the avionics, destroying the engines, basically making it so that it's suitable for static display, but not, you absolutely could never fly again.
The FAA doesn't like what they call really hot airplanes buzzing around their airspace that most of their planes can't catch up.
Yeah, it's really...
they like slow stuff.
So the Collings Foundation, in this particular, is the one that owns most of those aircraft, and they have some exemptions granted. They have... there was actually an Appropriations Act of Congress that was passed to give them the to allow them to purchase the F-4. It's the only F-4 in civilian ownership. It's actually one of the provenance of it's really cool. The F-4 that they have flew in the 147th out here at Ellington for many years before before being mothballed and then reactivated for private use. Only cost you $12,000 if you want to go for a 45-minute ride in it too. It's very expensive to operate.
Poor man's space flight.
Oh, they have a huge line apparently of people who are waiting to. It's downed right now with a fuel cell problem, but as soon as it gets operational again, they've got a line of folks who want to fly. And we talked a little bit about the difficulty of operating those jets in civilian airspace. Ellington is kind of an interesting place because there are other fast fighter jets that fly out of there, but typically one of the biggest problems pilots face flying those kind of jets is they are, like you said, Barrett, they are so much faster than any of the other traffic in the area. And even former military pilots who have flown those jets and are rated on them have a tough time flying them in a civilian context because you lack all of the military spoon feeding. You have to take care of all of your own flying
and
stuff.
And the tech on that, too. I know they've done some upgrades, but a lot of the tech on that, you're still flying. It's much more for the pilot. You have all the safeties that you do with, you know, like, I don't want to say, like, you know, any of the Joint Strike Fighters, but, you know, you don't have the same electronics, you don't have the same avionics, so it's a lot more pilot skill and training to get those planes on the ground safely.
Yeah, it's complicated. That's what I was doing. I was finishing up that last Friday because that had to go into. So it ended up being a very long piece. It had
kind of a lame excuse.
It had a long edit lead time on it, and I had to get it turned around. And it'll be running this Friday on ours if anyone wants to read.
Yeah, that's a full 1 week edit time on there.
For the piece ended up being about 6,500 words.
What do you think it'll be down to?
They didn't chop it up too much. A lot of it is just making sure that you get two or three sets of eyes on a piece like that. One of our guys, our deputy editor, Nate Anderson, is very, very good at making my dumb prose sound very, very good.
And most of the work is just generating the one tweet about the whole article.
That's right.
140 characters.
The perfect tweet. Although you're about to be at 10K pretty soon.
Yeah, you can just push the whole article right to Twitter.
Good.
Does he sound muffled again, or is it just that Pete sounds so hot?
No, Pete's fine.
Okay, I think it's
Pete, you sound
so fine,
hot,
you guys.
Pete.
You're kind of making me a little weirded out here. All right, so where did Flicted go? This is not good.
It's whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's free form.
We may or may not be broadcasting.
All right, well, that was a great story from Lee, but let's get back on track here.
All right.
And we will send it out to San Antonio and see if we can maintain a solid connection to Peter Hughes and the Technology Bytes InfoShot. Take it away, InfoShot.
It's the Technology Bytes InfoShot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, now 2015 is over, so there's a lot of summing up stuff of the year. And one of the things that came out was sort of the kind of final numbers on the global PC market, which we've talked about, you know, kind of through the year where it was down. It was a rough year last year, but it wasn't bad enough to merit the doom and gloom that's accompanied two reports that detailed the percentages of the decline in popularity. According to Wired, Wired News, the PC situation is much better than the pundits would have you believe. Basically, Gartner and IDC both show an overall drop in the global PC market of 8 and 10.4%, respectively, which just sounds pretty bad and is not actively good. But if you look at what the numbers actually say and the context in which they say it, apparently you have the picture of an industry whose death has been greatly exaggerated. You know, the main thing they break it down is, you know, everybody uses sort of the single number, but it doesn't tell, you know, it doesn't necessarily tell you the whole story. And so one of the things is Gartner lumps in devices, detachable devices like the Microsoft Surface in with traditional PCs, and IDC doesn't, which explains the gap. You know, the one was only 7.5% versus 10. Over around 10. So that makes a big difference. More importantly, IDC sees what it calls detachable tablets growing quickly, but from a small base, which means, you know, the percentages are misleading because there weren't that many before and we're coming from a very small, you know, small number. Essentially, the picture in the U.S., according to IDC, is not as bad as the global sounds. PC shipments fell just 2.6% in 2015 compared to 2014. Gartner says 2.7%, which neither of those is, you know, neither of those is huge. So, you know, you may have heard the stories and you may have heard the doom and gloom, but overall, it's more of a stable thing. It's just not growing. Is the, you know, the main thing. They're thinking that in 2016 that PC replacements will pick up because of Windows 10. But, you know, well, and there's some thought that with the Oculus Rift that that may not drive appreciable sales, but that it isn't a reminder that PCs can be aspirational products. So so we'll see what happens on that one. We'll keep an eye on what the numbers do. You know, no, basically it doesn't mean that, you know, the things I've heard are the deals where like one of the big four is going to go down this year. And, you know, who would it be? Would it be HP or Lenovo or one of those? And I think that that this article and the way the numbers look certainly make that not sound quite as likely as before when people, you know, 10% drop year over year and all that kind of fun stuff. On another just sort of interesting trend thing, though, just for kind of, you know, thinking about where the future goes and, you know, flashback about 6 months when, remember, the tablets, oh, that was in decline and the iPad was just so passe and tablet devices were just, yeah, whatever. There were more iOS devices shipped last year than there were Windows PCs. So, you know, with that decline, you know, the in PC sales, the tablet, you know, the iOS device world is growing. A Simcoe analyst, Horace Dediu, has revealed that in 2015, the number of iOS devices surpassed the total number of Windows PCs that were shipped by a comfortable margin for the first time. Last summer, it was about even, so it's not like a big shocking result, but it does give an indication of how popular mobile devices are compared to traditional PCs. That's where the, that seems to be where the motion is going. Again, you know, we'll, just like in the previous story, the numbers, you want to be careful before you kind of overgeneralize based on these kind of generic 10,000 foot numbers, but it certainly shows, you know, it does show a relationship and it does show how portable and mobile is a place where there's a lot of growth, where the PC side has been stable, if not shrinking a little. In other news from sort of from Apple, but not bite of the Apple worthy. And this one's just kind of kudos to him. Apple CEO Tim Cook is not shy about doling out advice to the Obama administration. He is reportedly unhappy with the White House's unwillingness to take a stance on encryption. According to The Intercept, he made his concerns clear to a high-level delegation of officials during a meeting in San Jose, California last week, asking the administration to issue a statement defending the use of unbreakable encryption. You know, at the center of the debate is the use of back doors, you know, which are intentional openings coded into software to let law enforcement officials bypass security measures and get at your data. The FBI and some administration officials argue the tech industry should put those in place so law enforcement can get access to communications between terrorists and protect national security. But the industry is fighting back in part because they're afraid hackers could exploit those same back doors. At a meeting to discuss counterterrorism attended by representatives from companies including Facebook, Twitter, Google, Dropbox, Microsoft, and LinkedIn, Cook told White House officials they should state publicly, quote, no back doors. Apple did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And by the way, all the articles tonight, that's all I was, you know, industrious. And before the show, the article list is all posted so you can follow along at home and imagine the show that could have been if we if we kept our act straighter. So so you know, kudos to Tim Cook on that one, and it's good that they're having discussions, and hopefully the White House and the administration will listen so that instead of playing around with this stuff, you know, pretending that it's not bad, it's bad enough the security through obscurity and the other holes that already exist without making it worse by adding in personal ones to, you know, adding in their own holes that are known, you know, that are out there that people already would know about. Because if you put the back door in and it's there for law enforcement, that means the instructions or tools will be out there. And once they're out there, then it's a lot easier for hackers to find them, quite frankly. And here's a, we've talked about this one a few times, the security through obscurity that goes with cars. One of the things that apparently kind of slipped by in CES last week was General Motors, since it was the car CES, apparently it's turned into the car electronics show. General Motors made an unusual announcement. The auto giant went public with its plans to launch a security vulnerability disclosure program, which promises not to take legal action against hackers that come to GM with security flaws they discover in the company's cars. These disclosure programs are common practice in Silicon Valley, but pretty rare in the auto world. Let's see, the only other company that has that kind of program, I'll give you, you know, three guesses. Real Progressive thinks of cars kind of a lot more like technology. Yeah, Tesla. Tesla has that program. The executive behind the program, GM Product Cybersecurity Officer Jeff Massamia, has a complicated task. He has to gear up GM, which just entered into an agreement with Lyft for the world of self-driving cars. And he has to make sure that GM's cars, which are more and more dependent on computers, are free of security vulnerabilities that could cause poor car performance or much worse. So it's a positive that, first off, there's a guy whose job every day is to pay attention to the cybersecurity of some cars, of, you know, a brand of cars, and that they're actually taking steps that are going to let them kind of, you know, by making it so the hackers don't get sued if they point out security flaws, it means that they get sort of that open source power behind finding their vulnerabilities, which hopefully means they can patch them and we can all breathe a little safer as we drive around in our various cars, apparently right now in our Teslas or our GMs. And speaking of self-driving cars, the Obama administration is about to announce a plan to help push the self-driving car industry forward, you know, to speed up the development of self-driving cars, according to Reuters. Mark Rosekind, or Rosekind, I'm not sure, head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, told reporters that Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox will unveil the proposal at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit tomorrow. So very soon. The plan could have a galvanizing effect on the nascent self-driving vehicle industry. Currently, several automakers and technology companies are working on autonomous vehicles, with most experts predicting that self-driving cars will begin to appear on the streets as in large numbers as soon as 2020. So, you know, thanks, Obama. Now we're going to get self-driving cars sooner. There's that. So we add that one in. And then on the more things change, the more they change some more. We've talked a bit about like YouTube stars and YouTube networks over, you know, recently. And, you know, who's the most famous of those people, frankly, is and irritating, I think, is PewDiePie. He is getting his own network. Not sure exactly what they really mean by that, but with the backing of Disney-owned Maker Studios, Felix Kjellberg, best known as PewDiePie, will create his own multi-channel network called Revel Mode, just like Howard Stern did 12 years ago when he left terrestrial radio for his own satellite network. Kjellberg becomes the first YouTube star to get his own network. So there's a group of other, you know, names in the YouTube averse that are going to be participating. The first program from Revel Mode will be an animated series featuring the entire roster of creators as characters. Together, Revel Mode creators will have more than 100 million followers across YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. So Maker says the venture will also focus on game development, commercial partnerships, merchandise, and philanthropic programs. So, you know, the thing about it is, okay, so they call it a network. It's not real clear from this article how, what, you know, it's not like they're going to have a channel. I don't think, it doesn't look like they're going to have a channel on cable systems and stuff. But apparently they are going to put these people together and have a network. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, this is basically a network of people that most of people above a certain age haven't heard of putting out new content. And so get ready for the young whippersnappers to do something different that you hadn't heard of before. And finally, this one I will admit up front is very, if you're a programmer, this one will probably resonate with you thoroughly. I found this on D-Zone, and it's one of those that sort of starts out funny and ends up true. In the world of IT, you know, there's all these different, there's a whole list of different driven developments, you know, test driven development, TDD. You hear the whole agile and all those things. Well, apparently, this person who wrote the article was talking to a developer, and they jokingly landed on the idea of Stack Overflow driven development, SODD, S-O-D-D. The sad thing is, as they thought about it, if you look at it, most there's a lot of Stack Overflow driven development going on in the world today. It's a way of life for a lot more developers than you might have thought. You know, what is Stack Overflow? Essentially, it's a website owned by Stack Exchange that was launched in 2008. It allows people to submit questions and provide answers to existing questions. Members maintain a rank by their participation, you know, adding questions, answering questions, upvoting answers, that kind of stuff. At the time of the article, which was today, Stack Overflow has 11 million questions, 18 million answers, and 45 million comments. And the deal is, if you're a programmer, if you put in a question that is coding oriented, the odds are very high that you're going to get Stack Overflow results. And the reason it's sort of a joke, if you are a programmer, it can give you help. You can go look at it, and if the question is close enough or is what you were really looking at as a problem, then the solution might be there. Often a lot of people seem to be using it to do very basic daily tasks, so that rather than actually writing their own code, they just have a collection of Stack Overflow answers that they copy and paste code out of and put into their projects. So it can result in some difficult answers, or it can be result with bugs, or when the answers are sort of summarized instead of being fully, you know, coded out, then there can be it's room for bugs to be introduced. But I was amused by Stack Overflow driven development because what, you know, fill in the blank here driven development customer-driven development or project-driven development. All those things are all over the place. And this is the first one that I actually kind of made sense in the first place. And that's the news.
All right. So are you okay, Flicted? You look a little down in the dumps.
Yeah, no, I just, you know.
You sad that we destroyed your show?
I got stuck in traffic.
Did you come down 59?
Up 45.
Yeah, it was bad on 59,
and
too.
And going from, it took me over 15 minutes to go from the 45 to downtown split to the 45 to 59 split, which is probably half a mile or less. It was like 15, 20 minutes because there was a wreck there at the 59-45 split, so.
Oh, yeah, I drove past that, but when I drove past it, it wasn't, all the backup was on the 45 split side, and the 59 split lanes were still pretty open. Yeah. I guess everybody figured that one out pretty quick and just went over into all of them. It's a big accident. There was like four cars that were like sandwiched, and there was another one pulled off.
By the time I got there, like I could see the lights, and I probably got maybe 150, 200 yards to where I was finally going to be able to see kind of what was going on. And I saw the tow truck lights driving off, and then traffic started going really fast. So they just like just cleared it out.
Dang. Houston.
Well, you're lucky because it's Houston. In other areas of Texas, they stand around with their hands in their pockets doing something and going, yep, that's a bad looking accident. That's going to block traffic for a long time, you know, except it's two old ladies who like scratched each other's fender, you know, barely, and stopped, you know, didn't get out of the lane because they wanted to leave the crime scene intact. And so you get 2 hours of delay for something that in Houston, well, frankly, in Houston, like the cars behind them would have just shoved them off to the side of the road and driven on at 75 miles an hour.
Even if they were proposing marriage?
Yeah. yeah, well, I guess that one, I guess that guy's lucky he did that before open carry was a legal thing. But no, other place, Houston has been, you know, at least unless they've backslid, I was always impressed by how quickly inside city of Houston, how quickly they cleared that stuff out. Because when you see it in other places, it's just, you know, most of the time it's like a parade. It's there, like, drag out every piece of equipment and scatter it around to show off. So there are five cop cars and nobody's directing traffic, and all of them are standing looking at the accident and not doing anything.
You're affecting that, so, that little bit of a twang there, and then your connection's kind of fading in and out, so it was doubly funny.
That's like, pretty cool.
It was like Country Robot.
Country Robot.
Yeehaw. My y'all kind of. I'm joining y'all kind of.
I wasn't actually living in the town at the time, but my favorite one from like my hometown, which is probably about 5,500 people. I remember it made the front page of the paper. There was a traffic jam in the town because somebody lost a round bale right at the square.
A what?
Round bale? Hay.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, those things are big and they weigh a fair amount, and you really need. Of course, I'm shocked somebody, like within 3 minutes, didn't drive by with a front end loader or like a round bale carrier, like right away. But evidently, yeah, it blocked the road for a while.
Much worse than a square bale in this traffic circle.
I see what you did. Okay, but it took me a second. Okay. I get it.
They're like 5.5 feet tall, aren't they? 6 feet tall?
yeah, probably somewhere
five-ish.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, they're pretty large, and yeah, they weigh quite a bit.
Heavier than you'd think, being made of hay. And that's great. I got nothing.
Hey.
The nice part about when the round bale falls in the, if you have the roundabout in the center of your town, then you get a Venn diagram of
fight
where
to
you
the
can.
Death. Round bale versus Christian Bale.
The money's on Christian Bale. That guy's scary.
Yeah, especially if the hay bale screws up his Starbucks.
Boy. Can't even quote the rant. It's too blue.
Well, really. Well, the interesting sort of online thing and cautionary tale, my wife put in an application for a job online on a major site, on, you know, not Monster, but that caliber of site, and got contacted and had an online interview and was offered a job and all this stuff. And it turned out to be something that apparently there's a lot going on, a lot happening, but it's not talked about a lot, which is job offer scams online.
Really?
Is it a phishing thing where they're trying to collect data that they can use to?
No, essentially when it comes down, you know, it's always like, there's always the like complicated, you know, in really good movies or stories, there's always the Die Hard movies, you know, it's always, oh, it always just looks like it's about terrorism, but really it's just a cover for a straightforward bank heist kind of thing. Well, this scam is, it's a check fraud thing. What they do is they get at least as far as I can tell, the one that's the most common is they say you're hired, you're going to work from home. They'll pay you a training wage, and then it goes up to a really good wage after that. And they say, you know, we're going to send you a check to get your equipment. And they send you a check, and the check is bad. And what happens is when you deposit that check in your account, a fraudulent check is your responsibility when you deposit it in a bank account. So even though somebody sent you, you know, they defrauded you by giving you this check, when you deposit it, you are the banks. They have nothing to do with nothing except taking that money back out when something goes wrong. But so apparently they send you this large check, and then they say, oh, we overpaid you. You need to send us a couple $100 back, which people aren't going to freak about. You know, if they sent you a check for $3,000 and said, oh, well, send us $1,000. Most people are going to not do that.
That's also, that scam also happens with people that are trying to hire bands and photographers and stuff for weddings. They'll do that where they will approach you if you have an online business and you provide some kind of service, and they'll say, okay, well, you know, we're going to pay you a retainer and make sure that we have the secured. And then they'll say, you know, they'll do the same thing. They'll say, well, we overpaid. We meant to, you know, we need some money back or something. They'll send a check. They'll negotiate a price and actually overpay it. So it looks, oh, they paid me too much. And they'll say, well, just deposit the check and then send us back, you know, whatever. And then by the time it's discovered that it's a bad check, you're out the money that you send them.
Oh, that's crazy.
So this is a pretty common scam, but I'm surprised to hear about it bleeding over into, you know, this kind of, we're going to pay you to work from home and give you some money to buy your uniform.
Well, yeah. You think, you know, it's people. Well, the idea is it's to the money to buy your laptop and the software.
This is so you can get
I see a flaw in the plan.
You know, because, you know, she caught on pretty quick. And
it's just got to be really disappointing too. On top of everything,
I thought
else.
I had a job, and
yeah,
now,
right.
Now,
well, and it's that cruel. Yeah, you. There's
you're
one
targeting
where
people who don't have income.
But now I have an idea for a home business.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, so no. One where you wish you were an eccentric billionaire, because then you hire all those unemployed people who got scammed, and you pay them to hunt down the blank holes who would prey on people who are looking for work.
How far down the scam did she get?
Oh, they FedExed a check, so they did spend money to do this.
So she got the check.
She got the check. She had already been saying, you know, some of this doesn't sound kosher. You know, this sounds suspicious, but they went ahead and sent it anyway. I think some of it is people, you know, a $3,000 check or a $2,800 check shows up, sometimes people's greed gets the best of them. And that's where a lot of these scams work. You know, you add a little desperation in, they send that check and all. You know, we looked at it, and the first thing was we looked at what bank it was on. And then the smart thing is this bank, right on the front of their webpage, it said, or it was a credit union, it had their routing number. So you can look on the bottom of the check. There's all those weird numbers that nobody pays attention to across the bottom of a check. Well, the routing number is kind of the critical one, because that says this is for this bank. And they posted their routing number right on the front page of their website, so you didn't have to search for it.
Right.
And when you look, the check they sent didn't have that routing number. But of course, with a bad routing number, what it means is it goes in the system, and when they try to resolve it, it takes a couple days. Meanwhile, they said, "Oh, hey, send us a couple hundred bucks," and you take it out of your account,
did
which has a balance.
Check?
No, she took it to the police. She took it to the cops and asked, you know, what should she do next? And they pointed her to, apparently there's a website that's associated with the FBI. And if enough people are affected by this kind of stuff, then they'll investigate and try to shut it down.
So have they approached her about getting their money back yet?
Well, they're not really out any money.
They're not going to wait to see if the check clears. As far as they're concerned, they've sent her the check. There should be a follow-up email or something coming sometime soon that says, "Oh, hey, we overpaid you."
Yeah.
Or did she go ahead and tell them off already?
I think they're waiting to confirm that it's been deposited is the idea, because then, of course, it's in your bank and people are going to say, "Well, it's in. You know, I put it in and my bank balance shows the money." And
so tell them that she evidently lost the check,
exactly.
And ask if they could send another one.
Yeah,
that way
they'll have
to pay FedEx again.
You think like she does, because she was going to do that. The cops said just don't do anything.
Flicked its head of the bunker squad.
Although the other piece that you can do, when you're at home, just kind of detecting and thinking about this stuff is, she ran the tracking on the FedEx package
to see where it originated.
Because all the stuff, the numbers, phone numbers and stuff associated with it are all out of New York. You know, they're New York City area codes and that, but the package actually came from Pearland. It's in the state.
Uh-oh.
They're scamming you from inside your own home.
Run.
although see, some of this stuff, I think the scale of these scams, I'm wondering if some of these like envelope stuffing scams that they have out there, where they do offer some real jobs with that, I wonder if some of those jobs are they send somebody a stack of these fake checks and tell them, you know, "We're going to send you the info to who to mail them to." And you do that, you do it, and you pay them a little bit to do that.
And then you
skip the last payment, and now you haven't even been, even touch the checks.
I know some people in Pearland. I'll ask them about it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You may be doing it.
It's like, this is crap. They're onto me.
I don't live in Pearland.
You want a job? Because uh-huh. they don't seem to be English as their first language people. Is the, in the interactions, at least the stuff that I saw on the texting and some of that, you know, basically once she realized it was a scam and got over the disappointment of the job thing, then she just was jacking with them for her own amusement.
she'd go to the 419 scammers website to get some ideas.
Those are the best.
Take a photo
of yourself with a fish on your head, holding up a sign that says "I am dumb." No, it doesn't mean that. It means something else. It's like an inside joke. It's just so I'll know that's you.
It's like IMDb.
Take a picture of yourself near the Empire State Building. Because you're in New York.
Well, I had one of those emails came in, you know, from somebody, you know, where they get their email account hacked, and so the hackers then send from that email, say, "Well, I was traveling abroad and I lost my passport and I'm stuck in Bulgaria or whatever. Can you please send me some money?
Wire some money.
And so I responded to one of them. I said, I know someone at the embassy over there. I'll send the money there.
Yeah. Nah, it's all right.
I'm afraid help that bad.
You want to lie. You want to say, "Oh, yeah, I got a friend at the embassy, and we've got, you know," you say an amount that's like you misunderstood the exchange rate. Mm. So that when they do the math, you know, that it's, you know, "We sent you 15,000 euros or whatever."
The 419 just is nice, where they're like,
Okay, let's give a little background tell the story on this, what this is, what the 419 scam is.
419 is term for the Nigerian spam.
So these are people that are tormenting those people that email and you and say that you're going to get the money
that are,
from a dead
right,
Nigerian
so, yeah,
friend.
So
people that
419
are
is, it's like the section in the Nigerian penal code that deals with advanced fee fraud, which is what this is. So the technical name is advanced fee fraud, and it's where a fraudster emails you emails a mark and attempts to get them to send the fraudster a small amount of money with the promise of a much larger return. The most common form it takes, and anybody who's got an email address has gotten one of these. You get an email from someone who says, you know, I am a barrister in the country of Nigeria, and my client's father has just passed away and left the sum of $600 million in gold coins, and in order to get it out of the country, I need to have, like, I need a place to send it to get out of the country, but it's been impounded, and if you can send me...
And you're a trustworthy person.
Yeah, you are a trustworthy person. Obviously, I have come upon your name.
May God have mercy on your soul.
If you can send me $1,000, I will give you 10% of this $600 million fortune for helping me. And, you know, some people read that, and they're like, wow, that sounds like a great deal. I'm going to send them some money so I can get 10% of $600 million.
Well, the sad thing is that people really do send money.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've
talked to people who've had to talk their elderly relatives out of, like, you know, they've gone to the banks. This is my chance. And the bank manager had to say, you do not want to drain your account or send your money. But anyway, so moving on. The 419's...
419eater.com is the name of the site. It's a bunch of guys who call themselves scam baiters, and they basically play along and provoke the scammers. They give them just enough...
How do I know you're real?
Yeah.
So
they'll string them along for... And they post, like, the whole conversation. It's amazing. They'll string them along for, like, weeks, for
months. They'll even get the scammers to send them money. I need money for postage or to be able to...
I remember one that the Nigerian scammer got furious because they kept telling him that they wired him money, but they were making fake wires and wire telegraph.
Yeah, they had
copies.
Like the Western Union forms, yeah, but like they
were faking, photoshopping.
Yeah. What's going on?
We must have lost Pete.
They're photoshopping the numbers so that, and they were like, no, look, I sent it. Here's a copy of it. And you're like, no, it didn't come here. Oh, I must have sent it to the wrong location or something. So the guy's like going around to different locations trying to find it. Oh, it was beautiful.
It's great. It's a good way to. It's a good
way
to
waste.
They
get mad at you for wasting their time.
Yep.
They get furious. Well, because I mean, the mindset is that, like, you know, they're justified in scamming us because we're, you know,
imperialist pigs.
Yeah,
well,
if
you fall for it, then it's okay. The idea is you were so stupid that
you deserve
for it.
That's
Although the other thing to say is, read, you know, when you read the 419 eaters and that, and they're pretty good about full disclosure.
That's numeral 9 eaters. 419eaters.com. If you want to, it's pretty hilarious.
I think it's .com. Maybe it's .org.
But the thing they mention is, you know, one is if you're in Europe, especially, and some of that stuff, you want to be careful about dealing with these people, because there's been the ones where they get somebody to appear. Where they arrange a meeting with the people, and they at a place where they know there's like a public webcam kind of thing, you know, like in a public square or, you know, a public location, and the people who show up to those things, you know,
they'll kidnap you and kill you.
Right. So if you're gonna jack with them, you want to make sure you are good at it and that you are isolated and safe away from those kind of people.
Across an ocean, kind of safe.
Oh, there's still a lot of Craigslist scamming and things that go on here, too. Just you just got to kind of keep your guard up everywhere. Just because it's on the internet doesn't necessarily mean it rings true. It means that you can't see if the person you're dealing with is shady directly, is what it means.
I have a feeling a lot of these, you've got a job opening at Facebook, might be tied into some of these check scam ones. That would be the only way I could see that they could get money out of it.
No, I think those are legit. I just have to send it a few more headshots and then some modeling lessons. Because walking down the halls, you got to look good for Zuckerberg.
And pay the fees, the internet tolls that you have to pay to get your application set up.
I need special bandwidth to be able to submit my application, is what they said. It's on order.
Ouch. So it is unfortunate. And there, you know, when you look at the forums where they talk about these, if you look up these kind of scams, the sad thing is the people who basically got burned, because, you know, $200 is. Not small change to anybody, but somebody who's unemployed or, you know, that was really that this has been their first kind of bright spot in their job hunt in years. That's just, there's just sort of, it's got to be a special place in hell for the people who do this.
Also, since we're talking about it, 'tis the season where you'll probably start to see an increase or an uptick in people claiming to be from the IRS. wanting to.
Oh, yes.
So be wary of anything. You know, the IRS will never call you on the phone. Chances are they will not email you. It's hard enough to get a hold of them. Even if they want to talk to you, they're going to put the work on you.
Right. It's your problem.
You've got to get a hold of them. So if someone calls you or someone emails you saying they're with the IRS, it is not the IRS.
No.
Unless you did a password change on the IRS website or the SEC.
Or unless they're with IRS records and you're one of their signed artists.
You're going to end up becoming ska band.
Or you're that would be me.
Or you're the police.
One step beyond. So be aware. You know, it seems like you can't say it enough. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true. Just like tonight's.
That's how you know this show's real.
That's right.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound too good. To be true. It doesn't sound too good, comma, to be true.
To be what? Wait.
The comma turns it back around.
We're going to be perfectly honest.
We have grammar nerds in the audience. They caught that.
What? I was going to put chapstick on, and I pulled my chapstick out, and the chapstick flew out from the chapstick holder.
Are you putting chapstick on?
Drops on the floor.
Super nerdy.
Put that on your lips now.
I'm not putting it on. I'm going to throw it away because it went on the floor, and who knows what's been on the floor.
This is the first time he's going to use chapstick, too. We're really looking forward to it.
you bought the wrong thing. That's actually a suppository.
I can use some for the nurse's
office. It's a guided suppository.
It's okay to put that one back.
Is that why?
That's why it leapt from your hand and away from your mouth.
It's ready to go.
You haven't been using that on your lips, right?
Apparently,
I'll never tell.
All right. What a great show.
Yes. Well, should we move on to another segment?
Yeah.
Why don't we?
Let's move on to another segment.
Why don't we bite some apple?
Let's see if this works.
Bite.
There we go.
Work. All right. Well, I mentioned in the news that PC shipments were down, and you know, if you wanted to read the numbers right, you could be despondent, even though it didn't really add up that way. This is in the Buy the Apple section. So Apple, the thing that's interesting is when you look at the growth rate for everybody for the past year, the only one of the majors, Lenovo, HP, Dell, Asus, Apple, and Acer, the only one that has a positive number in the growth column is Apple. They actually shipped more computers last year than the year before. They were up by 2.8%, so it's not a huge jump, but as compared to, say, like Acer, who dropped 11%, Apple's growth has managed to stay steady, and I believe it also has meant that they've moved up to back up to their now third in market share compared to behind HP and Dell as far as market share in the PC market. Upcoming news, I guess this is sort of rumory. A new report out of China today points to an earlier than expected trial production of the unannounced Apple Watch 2. The production is expected to begin as soon as the end of January. So they're thinking that that's to set up so that they have a good stock of it in the spring for a new announcement. Despite the report of Quanta's eagerness to begin production on Apple Watch 2, a rumor back in November suggested the company had a weaker than expected profit return on the original Apple Watch, which may be why Apple may be searching for new suppliers of the device in addition to having Quanta. Of course, it's not been confirmed by Apple. Rumors regarding the new Apple Watch include a thinner case, FaceTime camera, and an upgraded Wi-Fi chip for more independence from the iPhone. This week, it was discovered that Apple has posted 4 job listings centered around health technologies, suggesting possible improvements on the first-generation Apple Watch's health and fitness features. And then a couple of quick hits. if you've got an Apple TV, if you've got the new generation Apple TV, the kind of Swiss Army knife of playing video, VLC, is now available for the Apple TV. That's about the best. Frankly, if you're on PC, Windows, whatever, Mac, VLC is about the best thing. If you ever hit a video format that you can't read, you know, or that your computer doesn't have the software already for, get VLC because it pretty much handles it.
One of the best things about VLC is that the icon that indicates that it's running on your computer, at least on the Mac, turns into it's a little traffic cone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when it around Christmas time, it puts a Christmas hat on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does that for anything else for St. Patrick's or anything, but I noticed that the first time this year I was looking, I had VLC running, and the icon changed.
I'm a fan of the application. I'm not a fan of the developers who are, if you go to their forums and read any of the support requests or feature requests, have a very, what's the radio safe way to say this? They have a very high-handed attitude toward user suggestions. There's been an open request for years to make VLC do frame forward and frame back, which any other player does QuickTime does it, and QuickTime is, you know, rides the short bus to media player land, basically. And the developers refuse. They absolutely refuse. They just ended up adding in the past couple of years frame forward. But their argument is that modern, video compression techniques don't utilize frames as such. They're, you know, keyframes and interpolation. They don't have frames, and so the concept of frame forward and frame back is dumb and stupid. And you can point at other players like, well, look, this player does it. I can click, you know, arrow, 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 and go forward 3 frames, and arrow, arrow, and go back 3 frames. And they're like, no, that's stupid. Frames are dumb, and we're not going to implement that.
They are developing for free, though. It's not like they're getting paid for it.
Whatever. Jerks.
All right, well, there's the background music that is trying to pull us back on track, make sure that we're doing things in alignment with some kind of...
Chakra?
Yes, chakra.
There we go.
Or...
Chakra-guru?
Texas, that's what we do down here.
All right, well, you're listening to Technology Bites. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's...
Primus.
Thousands of you have heeded the call, but there's always room for more. You can find KPFT on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. From our latest updates to funny videos, contests, news, and more, you can find us anytime, day or night. We're at KPFT Houston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'd love to give you the latest. Plus, you're already on Facebook. Why not get behind the scenes of Houston's leader for independent music, arts, ideas, and culture right now? Again, find us at KPFT Houston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. See you there.
Desde 1970, KPFT ha sido manejada por personas que dan su tiempo libre para contestar teléfonos, barrer pisos, manejar la mesa de controles de sonidos y mucho más. A diferencia de las estaciones comerciales, es la pasión y no son los dólares por comerciales el combustible que hace trabajar la radio que usted escucha. ¿Cuenta usted con algunos minutos para darnos una mano? ¿Tiene usted experiencia en algún campo en particular? Considere donar su tiempo libre como voluntario para KPFT y especialmente para sus programas en español. Visite la página de internet www.kpft.org Para aprender más acerca de cómo convertirse en un voluntario en KPFT y para bajar la solicitud de voluntario que indique su interés. Si usted cuenta con un bajo presupuesto económico y no puede aportar una donación en este momento, el ser voluntario por pocas horas al mes lo puede calificar como miembro de la estación. Esta es libre de comerciales, patrocinada por Radio Escuchas, Radio Pacífica, KPFT, Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. We now return you to Not Barrett time.
To Bite of the Apple, already in progress. There was one story, the last story in it, is the most initially unbelievable, but then kind of makes sense story that I've seen on Apple. There's a rumor that Apple might be looking at buying Time Warner. If Apple were to buy Time Warner, which a new report suggests is in play, the tech giant would finally get access to the video content that it's wanted to offer as a complement to its Apple TV streaming device. Hmm. There's been all the talk about sort of the Apple, you know, Apple channel stuff, and Time Warner has been performing poorly and is under pressure from investors to sell itself off. And apparently one of the potential suitors is Apple, according to the New York Post. Apple's content chief, Eddie Q, has been watching the Time Warner situation carefully, citing unnamed – the report says citing unnamed sources familiar with the situation. So at first you kind of go, you know, I guess it comes down to how much is Time Warner worth. But Apple has the polite way would be to say a shipload of money sitting around in their bank accounts kind of doing nothing, and this would move them forward. It does seem like it would have, God forbid, synergy.
That could have some crazy cultural clash, though, because Time Warner is really not known for their service to the customers, mm-hmm. whereas Apple is a lot more focused on trying to make sure the customers are happy. You know,
although basically since Apple would be the one on top, then I would think that the result would be aimed towards bringing Time Warner up to snuff, drag him down like AOL.
Well, I'm thinking maybe Apple would buy Time Warner and then split them into different companies, and they would take all the content and then just leave behind everything else for Time Warner to figure it out.
That's the better scenario. I think the scenario is the next thing you know, you get geniuses coming over to your house, falling asleep on your couch, falling asleep on your skin. It just goes downhill.
Well, you know, but I guess it would just sort of depend. I mean, it would make Apple one of the top internet service providers in the country in just a fell swoop. They could do worse, you know. Obviously, you know, they didn't do the smart thing like Google did and buy a lot of dark fiber when it was cheap so that they could have a fiber network just sitting there waiting to light up. But it's one of those where kind of at first you think, geez, how old media can you get with Time Warner? But it does fit with the idea that, you know, if they own Time Warner, then they'd have HBO and some of those other things to offer as a, you know, kind of Apple content package with just sort of the top stuff. So I just thought that one was real striking, because like I said, when you first read the headline and go, Apple buying Time Warner, what? And then you think about it and it's like, well, that's not as bizarre as like when AOL bought Time Warner, quite frankly, which was funny because AOL bought Time Warner, then AOL tanked so badly that Time Warner ended up kind of on top and then sold off AOL. So it's like if you bought your house and then your house suddenly sold you, but you know, this one might work better. So that's the Apple Bite of the Apple for tonight.
They have a lot of money. Chomp. It seems like they could find some interesting things to purchase.
They could form like the Columbia Records thing of online video. Just give us a penny and order 20 videos over the next 3 years, and we'll
give them any ideas. Oh, I'm gonna regret it. when they do that.
So, and the other thing that's been funny now, and that there's a new thing that goes alongside the kind of Apple rumors, you know, where now they're telling rumors about the iPhone 7 or iPhone 7S or wherever you want to go, all that bizarre stuff. The new thing is rumors where different stock analysts basically say that Apple is just going to like crash and be, you know, and just total their stock price is just going to totally fall apart. And the company is, you know, there's actually a guy right now pushing for Tim Cook to step down because he's just ruining the company. He's lost billions of dollars in value for Apple, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
and it's kind of, it's like, no, they're not like setting the world on fire, but if anybody's watched Apple over the past, 20 years, like say people on a radio show like ours, Apple's had
a radio
way
show like
darker...
ours,
like ours.
Ours. Ours. Not like ours.
Watch the pronunciation there.
Let's talk like a pirate day. Like ours. Yar. Like ours, you know. I find it hard to believe they're going for Tim Cook's head when Apple stock used to be, you know, $17 a share, and they were talking, and Dell was talking about that they should just buy themselves back from their shareholders and close down.
Well, I mean, but I think a lot of people get used to stratospheric growth and new amazing Steve Jobsian presentations twice a year, one at Macworld and won it, you know, MWC, or not MWC, the other one, WWDC. And when they don't get that because, you know, Apple, it's fair to say the pace of innovation, or at least the publicly visible pace of innovation, has slowed. But, you know, I mean, come on, nothing, you can't have a company that innovates at
how much is
that
left?
Apple was doing forever.
Right. Even with the kind of massive sums of money that they have, that they could try to get into, they could push on stuff and get it pretty far. You know, bad ideas could go a long ways with, you know, $90 billion or whatever it is they've got in the bank. You know, maybe we need to just start some weird Apple rumors to get stuff going, like that the new thing will be an Apple drone that orbits around your head and helps with your life. A Siri drone that flies around your head waiting for you to call out orders like, Siri, kill.
GoPro's already doing that.
Yeah. They're not doing too great either. Did we hit the GoPro news already?
I didn't mention it. It's kind of stock markety, which...
It's techie. But
it's
techie.
It's finance, but mostly it's about finance, that they laid off 4% of their staff and their stock dropped. And
well, it's another company, though, that you expect, you, not necessarily you, Pete, but a lot of people expect, you know, sort of a continued innovation from. Like, why haven't they come out with amazing 3D 4K cameras that do everything in the entire universe? You know, why is their pace of innovation slow?
Did they lay off the surfers or the snowboarders?
they laid off the camera, the helicopter camera guy.
They still haven't announced the thumbnail 4K 3D camera that's just a like plastic thumbnail that you stick on your thumb and it captures everything in your life.
The GoPro contact lenses.
Ooh, that'd be kind of cool, actually.
Stereophonic.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it's GoPro.
What was that Star Wars thing you were looking at on your computer?
It was somebody posted a VFX reel. I think it's probably off of the Star Wars DVD showing some before and after shots of visual effects for the new Star Wars movie. There were like four or five YouTube links, and they're getting like rapid fire taken down by Disney, but the Vimeo link was still up. If you hunt around the internet, you can see these things as well.
The videos of emo Kylo Ren?
No, it was, you know, standard stuff showing compositing and, you know, amazing stuff that was and wasn't digital and some of the stuff. And there's like, you know, you notice the meme going around, the common conventional wisdom going around is that visual effects, you know, computer-generated imagery in movies is ruining cinema, but it's really not. It's the bad computer-generated effects are ruining cinema.
Yeah, poor application.
the ones that are amazing, you don't even notice. There are a couple of shots in this video. this is there are no spoilers for Star Wars and what I'm about to say. There's a couple of shots in this Star Wars VFX reel showing that Kylo Ren, who is the movie's main bad guy, who wears a mask, sort of Darth Vader-y, His mask was CGI'd onto his face in several shots. So they actually the film, but on stage they were having just the actor doing his usual thing, and then they just CGI'd the mask on him. But you know, because we are at this point very, very good at doing any kind of computer generated imagery that's like, you know, metals, plastics, textures like that, and lighting. We've pretty much got that down, and it looks completely natural. I had no idea it was a composited shot.
It's in total.
Kept their job.
Yeah,
it's in stark contrast to the prequels, where George Lucas had only the actor's face was the real thing. Everything else was all green, and then they painted in their clothes, their hair, their.
Yeah, anyway. No kidding.
There is a companion Twitter account to emo Kylo Ren, apparently. It's Very Lonely Luke.
That's kind of spoilery, though.
Have you seen Dad Jokes Han Solo Twitter account? It's Dad Han Solo telling dad jokes based on Star Wars.
You gotta be careful now. That doesn't really give anything away, but that gets close.
He's a father?
Giving it away.
Yeah, you don't know he's a father before you go into it. I didn't know.
If you haven't
seen it
yet,
my...
yeah. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it yet. But I spoiled everything, so I already know what happened. I choose to spoil myself so that you guys couldn't do it for
That's
me.
That's what you were smelling earlier.
There's a photo floating around on the internet of somebody who apparently plastered the spoiler from the movie mm-hmm. on the back of his SUV and was just driving around.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
It's in the Star Wars font.
That's awesome. How you get shot.
That's mean. Nasty.
He's slowly making his way to Oregon to join up with his kind, or what?
I don't know.
It's like the people who are driving around bookstores for the midnight Harry Potter launches screaming about Snape kills Dumbledore. I mean, it's just not
Spoiler!
Nice.
Spoiler!
Oh, yeah, Snape kills
Dumbledore.
That's
a little late, though.
Also, you didn't know that one.
Titanic
too late.
Sank? What?
In God with the Wind, the South loses the
no.
War.
No! Spoiling everything.
Jeez.
No surprise.
You know what was? Well, speaking of spoilers, apparently spoilers are a thing now. I mean, even more so. People are trolling the internet looking for ways to like just
ruin someone else's good time.
Just,
people are terrible.
I posted on my Facebook. I just said something about like saw the Star Wars movie. No spoilers. It's really great. I recommend you go see it before it gets spoiled for you. And then somebody I don't even know that's not even a friend of a friend apparently was just searching Facebook for mentions of Star Wars. And whenever he saw something like that, he'd leap in, if it was open, leave a comment, and spoil it. You know, just here's the spoiler. And so if anybody had liked the post or had commented on the post and were following
it. Comes up in your feed accidentally.
You'll get a notification that so-and-so responded. You go, oh, hey, oh, man. But so people are actively like, the more you say, I think that's part of the reason why Trump's doing so well right now is because people are enjoying the fact that it's twerking off a certain group of people.
Is it twerking them?
Twerking. That's
twerking?
Disturbing.
Ours, ours, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, vote for Trump. Twerk.
Oh, no.
No, but I think it's the whole Trump thing going on right now is, I think people are enjoying how maddening it is for a certain group of people or, for half the nation. So people are like, I'm going to go support this because it's making other people angry.
I think
the
interesting part with that, though.
Politics.
Yeah, the problem is that once those cross into real life, then the prospect of real life beatdowns, it's like no matter how big an X-Men fan you are, if there was a huge group of them that got too public, then the local union of bullies will show up and, throw down nerd beatings. And I think if you want to go out and be a troll and be in public, at some point that's going to get to a place where people don't want to be. Because it's one thing to be anonymous, and right now it does seem like the trolls are winning. Because, of course, you can spoil it for a ton of people without really exposing yourself too badly. But at some point, it's going to come. There's going to be the pushback, I think, on the trollery.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it is sad.
Speaking of trollery, are you guys Deadpool fans? Did you see the movie poster for Deadpool?
No.
This is... If you're familiar at all
like
with
the notebook or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's Deadpool is it's an upcoming comic book movie. It's going to be incredibly graphically violent with heads.
It's rated R.
It's rated very, very R. And the producers released a poster for it today. I posted it on Twitter. But it's done up in the style of the poster looks like a romantic comedy. It says love, true love never dies, and it's got a shot of Ryan Reynolds and Miranda Baker in there, and there's a nice little, it's all backlit with soft lighting.
Soft bokeh in the background.
It's like trick your significant other into going to Deadpool this Valentine's Day.
They're advertising it as a chick flick so you can get your girlfriend to go see it with you on Valentine's Day.
It's not going to be.
Which is very Deadpool, anyway.
That's going to be the red wedding all over.
Oh, yes. Do not fall for that. Anyone who is not necessarily a comic book fan and thinks Deadpool might actually be a rom-com.
I'm not a big fan of the comic book movies, but that Deadpool movie does look like it's going to be very interesting.
I think it's going to be a trip.
When does it actually come out?
Valentine's Day.
Oh, so it's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm thinking if your girlfriend falls for the idea that a movie entitled Deadpool is a romantic comedy, that then maybe she does deserve to be fooled with that.
Or two, if your girlfriend wants to go see Deadpool, maybe she shouldn't be your girlfriend. You need to up that game. That's awesome.
Wait, if your girlfriend doesn't
marry,
okay, doesn't
if she
want
does,
to,
if
right,
she wants to go right, see Deadpool, that's a keeper.
What kind of freak are you?
I've never even read the comic book. The movie looks pretty good.
I think any of the movies are probably better if you didn't read the comic books.
Oh yeah, because you get all wrapped up, especially in the Marvel and DC. You get all wrapped up in the lore, and you're
reading the comic books as a young person, and even as a young adult, you know, the whole thing plays out. Even though it's graphically, you know, it's graphics, you still build this in your mind. You have an idea of
like what they sound like.
Know what the texture of the world is, what the ambiance is, the feeling of everything, and how it's something you concoct in your own brain. And they throw it up on the screen, and it's just like, yeah, that doesn't look like what I was thinking at all. It doesn't sound like what I was thinking at all. So
I'm doing okay, because I haven't seen a lot of the – I haven't read a lot of the comic books. But I think when Hollywood eventually runs out of material and they start making movies like out of like old Larry Wall Pearl journals, I'm going to know – I'm not going to like it. Because I already have in my head how, you know, how Larry writes and how he sounds. And all the examples are going to be weird.
Dork.
No.
Nerd!
That's going to happen. Nerd! You're doing comic book movies? Just wait. They're going to – this is a downward spiral.
Nerds!
And I think the biggest problem with comic book movies is that they tend to try to put too much into one movie.
Which is
so that there's going
to make eight of them for every possible.
Yeah. Well, like Spider-Man. Like when they do Spider-Man movies and they have, you know, you can tell that they're, that it's, that that particular reboot, since we've got about, what, 20 going or something? Once they start like dragging in like four or five villains at the same time, then you know that this is like going to be the last movie from that group.
I don't even like Spider-Man that much. Why does Spider-Man get so many
movies?
He
likes you.
I do like Batman though, and Batman's gotten
Batman's
a lot.
Batman's not like you.
You know, like Guardians of the Galaxy, never read any of those.
I never watched.
I like that movie.
Loved
it
Guardians
great,
of the Galaxy.
Great film because it had certain humor to it.
But soundtrack was good.
I went in expecting
I was a big X-Man fan, read those comic books, those movies completely suck.
You know what happens to a toad that gets struck by lightning?
I actually hated the X-Men, but I thought the first one or two movies were pretty good, but I didn't watch any after that.
I haven't seen many of them at all, yeah.
I thought the first two were pretty good. I'm not a fan of the X-Men because to me, first of all, I wasn't as big a fan of Marvel in general, but also like the X-Men always just felt like soap opera comic books and were like, I don't know, it was too popular. Like, people were irrationally in love with Wolverine and stuff. Like, I just didn't want to be a part of it.
I'm holding out for the Zippy the Pinhead movie. That's what I'm waiting
I'm
for.
I'm waiting for the Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers movie.
You know, they optioned Madman for a movie like 20 years ago or something, and it's never developed. That's Madman is one of my favorite characters. I love Mike Allred.
It was a great TV show. It was just ended like last year.
Yeah, that's more than one. This is a singular one.
Although I did like this, what Lee's talking about, I thought the comic was a lot better on Madman. I did read that.
I'm just waiting for the chick cartoon tracks to be made into movies.
Dark Dungeons. Dark Dungeons forever. Actually, that Dark Dungeons kind of was made into it. What was the Tom Hanks movie?
Mazes and Monsters.
Mazes and Monsters.
Yeah.
Mazes
and
Monsters.
But you know, I don't know if y'all knew it, but you know the. Sir, are you familiar? You're familiar with Chick Tracks?
Uh,
Yeah.
The like religious tracks, right?
That's what we just were talking about.
Right, so Dark Dungeons.
Yeah.
Somebody did make that into a movie.
Yeah, it was
about 2 years ago. They kickstarted it, or they
was it amazing
on Indiegogo? I have it. I bought it.
Was it amazing?
It was pretty hilarious. Yeah,
we're talking about tracks or pamphlets put together by a guy whose last name is Chick.
Yeah,
not
Jack
like
T. Chick.
Chick movie. We're not
right.
Being,
no, it's yeah. a guy it's named Jack T. Chick who was an artist that does religious Christian religious
extremely right wing evangelical. King James Bible is the only legitimate translation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
very conservative.
Yeah, I think.
Imagine if the guy behind Bazooka Joe was deeply,
almost pathologically religious. Yeah,
just as it's not the and, religious tones. It's just the drawings that he did. The little kids, you know, looked like they were angry. They looked,
yeah.
You know,
his artwork's pretty good though. I mean, there's actually a large following of non-Christian people. Who really like and collect Jack Chick's stuff.
Some of his are so
and,
ridiculously over the top.
They're called Chicklets. People that are big fans of Jack
it
Chick.
It doesn't hurt that most people
Jack.
Are... I have a feeling a lot of people got introduced to it, say in Texas, got introduced to Chick tracks.
At rock concerts.
At the beach.
Left in bathrooms.
Yeah.
Or at,
yeah.
at college. Left in college bathrooms.
Course,
or
this can't happen anymore, but they used to be left on top of payphones a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But also in public restrooms. Yeah, that was real common also.
And so at colleges, you had a lot of these people who grew up, you know, indoctrinated in a particular belief system who then went off to college and brought a, you know, sack full of Chick tracts to hand
they were,
out.
They were cheap. You
save
could buy,
their
like,
college.
They sold them. I mean, you could buy them individually, but generally you'd buy them in like a pack of like 20 or 25, and they were pretty cheap. So, you know, you could do your clandestine.
They have a website. It's chick.com.
Yeah.
And you can order them online there.
Well, it's funny. So Jack Chick is sort of a recluse. Like he doesn't really do interviews. Really, he didn't do anything publicly. Really, he's older now. I think he's in his 70s or something, or maybe 80s now. But the guys who wanted to do Dark Dungeons actually wrote him and said, "Hey, you know, we'd really like to make Dark Dungeons into a movie. Is there any way you give us the right to do it? You know, instead of paying for it?" And he wrote back and said, "Yeah, sure." Which was bizarre. Like
other,
he's like
maybe
I said,
he thought they were going to do it for real instead of.
Well, and,
you know,
and so the thing is, they said they. I read some stuff interviews with them, and they were like, you know, how are we going to film this? Because this guy had wanted to do it since he was in college.
Give us the 3-sentence summary of Dark Dungeons, so that listeners who may not be familiar with this particular tract.
It was an anti D&D thing. So the idea is these two girls. Freshmen in college, start hanging out with some people that play at Dark Dungeons, which is D&D, and quickly get involved in the occult. And kind of like Tom Hanks in Mazes and Monsters, like identify with their character so much that when the character dies, you die kind of mentality and are led down a dark path.
Yeah, one of the panels is the older lady saying, like, "Debbie, your cleric has been raised to the 8th level. I think it's time that you learn how to really cast spells."
Yeah.
And she's like, "You mean you're going to teach me how to have the real power?" And
yeah.
She says, "Yes, you have the personality for it now."
Yeah, and so the deal is, the guys were like, "How are we going to do this?" And they're like, "It's so over the top that you can't parody it because it is what it is.
It's kind of like 40s radio drama.
And so they did it straight. Like their movie is a straight version of it. Like the people really say the real lines
from the track.
You know, it's not, there's very little trying to be campy about it because they're just like, all we can do is just do it like it is. And that's the best it can be. But
they should have got Faye Dunaway to play the woman who told her that she could now start casting the real spells.
That would work.
The person they got to play that character was probably one of the better ones.
I would have voted for Selma Hayek.
Well, you know, Jack Chick is a recluse, but on Halloween night at his place, it gets freaky.
Stuff gets wrecked.
Comics.
Get Chick wrecked.
He hangs out with Crumb, and yeah, things go crazy.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
You think there's chicks at the Playboy Mansion? Where the chick's house?
No, I see what you did.
Okay.
All right.
Don't we have some other show section to do?
Don't we have some more stuff to do?
I think we do. In the geek world, we hear about new gadgets and gizmos every day.
Sounds like Pete.
But can they stand a dip in the snark tank?
It's over.
Yeah, I guess it would sound like me.
It's over!
You and Wapner have really similar voices, I've noticed.
There's this revolutionary thing called a progress bar on, you know, like videos and sound files. So I do know when it's over, even if I can't hear it.
But the thing is, there's always like this like 1 to 2 second pause where it ends before you start talking.
Well, that's probably the lag. There's the round trip lag. That's why we keep
saying that, because it ends and there's this like long pause. We're like, okay, I guess we should start talking.
Okay, well, I guess I'm gonna just, when there's like 1 second left, I'll start.
Hey guys, if we keep doing this, eventually we get him to talk over it. No, you're not doing it soon enough.
Come on, Pete.
Yeah.
And the snark, it's over.
Yeah, well, I'll be there in person next week, so we can talk it out.
It's like a Peter Hughes scammer. Peter Hughes eater.
I sent you gas money in advance, but I sent you too much, Pete. Could you send me some of the gas money
Here's a Star Wars spoiler from episode 4, for those of you keeping track. You know, maybe you saw the little robot the little wheeled robot that Chewbacca, you know, growled at and it took off. If you saw that and thought, wow, what if that was like a carry-on bag that would follow me around? Then you would have thought of the device that was shown off at CES 2016. Nua Robotics, an Israeli robotics company, has been showing off its smart suitcase prototype. The premise is that it connects via Bluetooth to a smartphone app, so you'll always know where your suitcase is. And then it has a built-in camera sensor and can follow you around on flat surfaces like through an airport. So, and they actually have video of this thing that looks like a tackle box following this guy around. So maybe it could work. You know, the thing about it is, you know, it follows about 5 feet behind. So I don't know if...
you kind of have to pay attention to it. I would assume that would work domestically, but you know, there are a number of countries I wouldn't want to just not take my eyes off my suitcase. And the other question,
and then hear it screaming as somebody runs off.
Yeah,
with
is TSA going to be? Are they going to be cool with like more or less, you know, autonomous bombs just floating around the airport?
TSA bomb,
following
I'm
people.
Not in the line, though. I'm not in the line. That's cool.
They wouldn't know that you wouldn't know whose it belonged to. Apparently, you know, obviously, since it has a battery in it to move around, it also will recharge your devices and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's one of those where I guess 20 years ago, if they'd figured out a way to do it, it might have.
But they gave it the voice of Jar Jar Binks.
Misa, follow you.
Misa, no fit overhead.
You're close smell. Your clothes smell like ganja.
Security. So,
and I know I'm from, I have a Jamaican accent.
My luggage made a bomb joke at the security last night.
Sorry, man. Can't do a thing with it.
People are getting a little bit concerned about, you know, just being able to deliver, you know, nukes or bombs or whatever kind of payload you want to via drone. So I know that, you know, that scare is kind of ramping up. I think a week or two ago we might have mentioned, what was it, Pete? Was it Airbus or Boeing?
Yeah, Airbus that had the anti-drone.
Yeah,
that
are doing Airbus. Things like that, and that's going to be, you know, the arguments are that you still have to be kind of close to the target. You still have to have some kind of a cellular communication or radio communication to the target, but not necessarily. It's like, you know, the military drones that we're flying, you know, in the Middle East and places like that, a lot of those are controlled out of bases in California or Wyoming or Colorado.
Nevada,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the big one, and now you don't really have to be all that close. Now, it's very expensive. But we're about to kind of get into a cowboy age where you don't know if you can trust what you see up in the sky, you know?
What?
True. I have heard that the...
Cowboy shooting down Amazon drone deliveries, you know, just go get a shotgun. Now, that looks like a... Yep, that's a Blu-ray player. Really, there are
finders,
a lot of issues
keepers.
With that, yeah.
I only shoot the ones that are marked prime.
Well, yeah, I've heard that the anti-suitcase that follows you around app, it just does the Chewbacca growl, and then the thing takes off. So Another this one, you know, it is a try by or fry, but it's only talked about because they've delayed when it's going to launch. Hulu is trying to get on the virtual reality train, and they have said that Hulu fans are going to have to wait a little longer for the company's promised VR app. The VR experience tool that was supposed to launch in November in conjunction with the Samsung Gear VR is still not ready.
They're virtually almost done with it, though.
Hulu's head of experience, Ben Smith, said as much when he told Variety in a report published yesterday that the company's VR efforts won't be available until sometime this spring. The original plan was to do it with the Gear. November came and went without any explanation. In the latest comments, he promised that Hulu's VR products will include general VR content as well as apps specifically designed for VR headsets. Everybody ready for VR Seinfeld on Hulu? It's Festivus for only a small number of people in VR. I don't know. It's one of these where you kind of go, we're barely there with games. How does the panel feel about watching TV shows on a VR headset? Does it really make sense?
Not until the VR headsets are higher resolution, I say, as one who has an Oculus Rift DK2 and has tried several different ones in pre-release. The one that you would probably be most likely to watch TV on would be like the Samsung Gear VR. Resolution's just not there. I mean, it looks all right, but it's not like something you'd want to stare at.
You're not going to necessarily be able to interact with all the Hulu stuff, though, are you?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't think so. It seems like it's kind of static content, and it's more, they call it VR because it's not that you can really interact with it. It's much more like
having a big screen TV
that wraps around your site.
Yeah, you know? It's basically, like having a
3D,
a wearable IMAX
3D. Yeah.
Experience.
A wearable low-resolution IMAX. Is what it's like.
We just have to water down the definition enough to make it a reality.
Yeah.
A grainy, nausea-inducing IMAX, head-mounted IMAX.
If they don't do the head tracking right, even
you could always it would be perfectly acceptable to watch something like Lawnmower Man with that.
Or if they start to shoot content, I guess, with like a 360 camera where you really can't look around and see all the angles, that could be kind of cool. But I don't know if anyone's
With Adam Sandler streaming movies, and then the nausea will be like, is it virtual or is it real?
Well, how many people actually you guys made it? How many people actually have 3D TVs in the studio that use their 3D TVs like once a week or once a month?
I have
a
3D TV, but I don't use it that often for the 3D stuff. But occasionally I do.
Yeah.
Until I saw the new Star Wars, I hadn't even seen a 3D movie.
No, I hadn't gone out to see a 3D movie. Since Avatar,
I've seen several, and I've been wildly unimpressed with each one.
Star Wars kind of did. I saw my first 3D movie probably like 1978. You know, like in a drive-through where they handed out the bad glasses,
red and blue
and just
glasses.
A couple of things kind of flew out at you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It was a really bad sci-fi, like Jared something in the Legend of the something something. And
was it
you know,
Piranha? It wasn't Piranha 2.
One more time.
Piranha 2.
I don't think I could probably find it. It was
Jaws
a really
3D.
Camp,
you know
bad movie.
You know what the best 3D movie ever is? Of course, it's Captain EO. Captain EO rocks.
Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin.
There you go.
Movie, 1983, 3D.
I think the only good one that I've seen, there's some I haven't seen that probably were pretty good, like Avatar might have been. But the only one I've seen that I thought was really good was... How to Train Your Dragon?
That's animation.
But it was animation, which is probably why.
Yeah, so they could render it for the 3D and get it more accurate, I would think.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Like when he's flying on the dragon, like I felt sick, motion sickness.
They had a new way of coming back in and like making movies that were shot in 2D and like you know kind of like giving them depth 3D, like some good science fiction stuff. Like You've Got Mail would be cool in 3D.
Ugh.
What?
You've got
no, because
it's that internet AOL thing. It's pretty. It's kind of cybery. It's very techie.
I don't think they do cybering in that movie.
That's my whole new startup. Is I'm taking old black and white movies. I'm colorizing them, turning them into 3D.
We call it turnerizing with the colors. Yeah, what would it be going straight to 3D?
Now I did get to go see Earthquake in Sensoround. which is where the sound so they, is turned up
they,
so loud.
They burned you and
no, it's just that
threw rocks at your head.
That would have been awesome. But it would have been really amazing to be alive to go see the Tingler.
I missed when they actually.
Is that the John Waters
movie? They had the chairs wired for electricity in certain seats, not all of them in the theater. So, like, when the Tingler came out, stuck!
Yeah, they experimented with a lot. I know there was, like, we kid about smell-o-vision, but at some point, someone tried to release some scent.
There was
the
a John Waters.
It was John Waters.
John Waters did one at smell-o-vision. Right. He had scratch and scratch sniff.
Polyester, right?
Was it polyester? It might have been
so.
Polyester. And one of them was dog poo, and I don't know if that ever got scratched for people, but...
No, thanks. I'm
yeah,
good.
Polyester.
Polyester smell-o-vision. Yeah, it came with a scratch and sniff card, and the number would show on the screen telling you what,
which, when one, to scratch.
Which one to scratch to smell to experience the scene in the movie. John Waters, what a wacky guy.
No, thanks.
No, thanks.
I would have liked to have done good that. Stuff. I remember hearing people talk about him being a little bit upset that I missed out.
No, I did. I can't remember what movie it was now, but there was a 1950s or 1960s 3D movie that had the red blue glasses that you wore to watch the movie. And I found a copy of it online and I downloaded it, and I had to go to Amazon and order the glasses and watched it. And
was it Creature from the Black Lagoon?
No. Movie.
Catwoman of the Moon? See, Spy, I found a whole list of 1950s 3D movies. Most of them sound pretty awesome. Gorilla at Large. You wouldn't want to see a small gorilla in 3D. It Came from Outer Space.
It'd be disappointing.
It Came from Outer Space.
Yes.
Yes.
Fourth try out of like 50 to choose from.
Wow. And that was fun. I actually found it. No, I didn't. But actually, I got the DVD. I found it on DVD and I ordered it. I think I have a picture of Cynthia wearing the glasses.
Yeah, you can get Cynthia. They've got Miss Sadie Thompson is 3D in the 1950s came out.
Qualité.
All right. Yeah, well, VR, apparently there's the porn business is already gearing up for huge amounts of content for the VR. They want to do for it what they did for the VCR, I guess. Which it's only one letter off, so it kind of makes sense. And I guess so. Now the final thing in Try Buy or Fry tonight. This one, you know, for your laptop, it completely makes sense. The first 13 terabyte solid state drive has been announced. It's targeted at enterprises, but it's a 2.5 inch 13 terabyte solid state drive. The Mammoth SSD 13000M from Fixstars will ship by the end of February. SSDs today have no more than 6 terabytes of storage, and so the 13 terabyte more than doubles it. They're talking about a rough selling price of around $1 per gigabyte, and for those of you who don't want to do the math, that's $13,000.
Yeah, that's relatively high.
Yeah, well, except for one that's twice as large as the largest you can get, I get where they're getting a premium. I mean, they're not going to get it for the same price as you get a, like, 120 gig, which now is, what, about 50 bucks, 60 bucks? So that's only about half. So you just have to buy a ton of those instead for your 13th. And you could save money, frankly. You could buy a bunch of 256s and make a massive solid-state drive RAID. It plugs into SATA 6 drives or SATA 6 slots on motherboards. It has sequential read speeds of 580 megabytes per second and write speeds of up to 520 megabytes per second. The random read and write speeds were not provided. Competitors have not indicated that they would catch up to 13 terabytes. SanDisk has said it's going to release 6 and 8 terabytes this year. Samsung said it would release a 4 terabyte this year. The Fixstars is based on NAND flash from Toshiba, which holds a minority stake in Fixstars. It uses a proprietary controller that is designed for faster sequential read and write speeds. The problem with that means probably you have to have the right motherboard to use it with, and some of that is my guess. But it's targeted at companies creating or streaming video, which requires sequential reads and writes by accessing large blocks of data. It could also be used for scientific computing and cold storage. So they did announce a smaller 10 terabyte drive, but they didn't say what the price would be.
Yeah, I'm probably going to wait.
Because who cares?
I'm going to wait till it hits probably below 900 per terabyte, you know? Maybe.
Oh, yeah, when they go below that dollar a gigabyte. But a dollar a gigabyte, that sounds cheap.
That was cheap 20 years ago.
True, true.
Well, that was actually cheap probably.
I was going to say, no, because then we would have gotten our 1.2 gig drives for $1.20.
Yeah. So, so it moves on. You know, the nice part is that dollar gigabyte, obviously that adds up when you're talking, when you start talking terabytes. But if you've bought a USB thumb drive lately, I think that's about what you end up paying for those too. You know, an 8 gig is about $8. Although, actually, I guess, well, like a 64 gig thumb drive is less than that, though. I mean, once you get into the bigger SSDs.
Yeah, there's that sweet spot around, then they go up to around 256 and they start getting obscenely priced again.
Right.
But yeah, I'm always surprised. Yeah, you can, and I was thinking a dollar per meg, I guess, earlier. That's how long it's been since I've done, like, you know, megs to dollar conversions. But yeah, that's pretty much the going price if you, like, walk up to, like, Micro Center, do, you know, some kind of a bargain bin, you know, stick or a CF card. It's pretty cheap.
You know, the plus side of it is this does show you where the future is going. I mean, you know, imagine 13 terabytes is a pretty insane amount of stuff in a 2.5-inch drive so that you could have that in, you know, what, a MacBook Air or, a Dell, their little Air knockoff.
Super high-density rack, yeah.
Or, you know, I guess it's a little bit big for a phone, but still.
But it's, I mean, it becomes really complicated. How do you back it up? How do you deal with that much data? I mean, you've got to have a way to restore
cloud.
It and take care
of it. We need two of them. You need two of them. 26K, please.
Can't put it in the cloud. There's, I mean, because your upload pipe that Comcast or Time Warner gives you is only 10 megabits a second. So it would take from now until the heat death of the universe to upload 13 terabytes into your unlimited cloud storage. Into your
you don't really
want to
fill those up, though, really. So maybe you're really only talking about 8 to 10 terabytes of data.
Well.
Got to leave some breathing room there.
You'll leave you with a lukewarm universe, yeah.
You get it raided. You get two of them. That would be the way to do it.
Yes, raid zero. Absolutely. You want to stripe
for,
that.
Going for speed.
I would get five of them, yeah.
Five of them in a,
two in a controller.
Single raid zero stripe spread across five SSDs. That's how you gotta do it. That's
so when someone wins Powerball tonight, though, I'm assuming they're going to get everyone in the studio some fixed stars. Did you guys play? I actually didn't play.
I didn't either. I was going to say, if I had gotten a ticket and I won, then Technology Bytes wouldn't have to have the fun drive that's coming up at the end of January.
Is that Pete's jet flying up? Yeah, he's here. Awesome.
Whee! Flies over and drops money down upon us.
I'm kidding. You would probably get a helicopter.
Jetpack, come on.
Jetpack, oh, there we go. Just, jetpack.
He's going to be able to land.
Notice I said the next fun drive wouldn't have to do anything. I didn't say anything about forever or any of that. Because that would be the real thing, of course, if one of us won $1 billion.
It would be K. Pete from now on. That would be
the
station.
Pete
Pacifica Radio.
Oh. Yes, turn Pacifica from an anarcho-syndicalist commune into a dictatorship of one dude.
Sword not included.
Although it'd keep the active types really energized because they'd constantly be in opposition to everything that anybody did, even if they fully funded all the Pacific stations.
Dream big.
Yeah, well, that, you know, the thing about it is I don't even have to drop the buck to just sort of imagine what would I do with that kind of money.
I can imagine what it'd be like to play the lottery by lighting a dollar bill on fire.
You'd have to light a $2 bill on fire. I think that's the
true.
Minimum.
It's $2. Yeah. Oh, but I am playing, well, though, to be said.
Yeah. I thought
now,
about
see,
it.
the real personal challenge would be to win that lottery, be the only person who wins it, and then see how quickly you could blow through every penny of it without really having anything to
Brewster's Millions.
Is this Brewster's
Millions? Yeah, except with $1 billion. You know, the ultimate white trash tragedy. Because you see all these people who win, that, you know, they have the stories where
hard. Between taxes and all the withholdings and everything else, you can
you're left with only about half a billion dollars.
It's like $10.
It's about $69.
You're lucky if
bucks.
You break even on the Powerball ticket you bought in the first place, really.
Yep. Well, when you get to those kind of numbers, though, so you know, so it's like $1.5 billion or something right now. So say half of it goes to taxes, because I think that's the rough.
Well, first,
so you're talking...
first it reduces to $900 million if you take
the
cash auction. So yeah, it goes down by half of cash auction. You're assuming you're the only winner, because chances are like eight people are going to win this. So yeah, it goes down to. It goes
That's
down,
true.
It goes. It's like on the ticket I bought, the cash option still is $998 million. So it's almost a billion.
It's still good, but there were an insane okay. amount of people out just today. When I stopped off to come here,
yeah.
Just you couldn't park. There was a line at the cash register, and then the machine started.
Well,
going
the,
down,
they I think they actually know what combinations have been bought. And last
yeah,
I heard, the last I heard a couple of days ago is about 85 to 90% of the combinations had been purchased. So
oh, wow.
There's a 90% chance that at that time, I think maybe all 100% of the combination has been purchased that, you know, to cover the spread. So somebody's going to win. Probably more than one person.
And this is not statewide. It's national, right?
It's national.
You know, really solid. Okay. National.
Texas is well, due, so- man. So am I.
So I think over 20 years to get to the 1.5, if you took the where they pay you out each year,
annuity?
Isn't that that's like $75 million a year, isn't it, or something? Or am I off?
Yeah.
It's $1.3 billion per person, according to the meme. I think for everyone in the United States.
Right.
No, 40,
no, that 40. Math was wrong.
Yeah, no.
Nuh-uh.
All right. So here, just to spoil it for you, if you're playing the Texas lottery.
Spoiler alert.
One of my best friend's mother won the Publisher's Clearinghouse a number of years ago, so that's about as close as I think any of us are going to get.
the drawing is
tonight. It's coming up in a few minutes.
Okay.
But whether, you know, the winning number.
Well, so before when we started doing the math, so if you took the lump sum and you pay the taxes and you have $500 million to have it be a round number, $500 million, that would mean that it would take – that if you spent, what, you know, $5 million a year, it would take 100 years. You know, it starts turning into where you do the math, and even if you were just crazy on spending, unless you bought something big – like Time Warner, I guess, and then ran it into the ground.
The Astrodome.
Moonbase Pete.
Now, see, the Astrodome you could probably buy and live in and still have hundreds of millions of dollars left to, I don't know,
renovate
it. Outfit it for a party, for one big party.
Pete, you bought a ticket too?
No, I didn't
buy
a
ticket.
So just
Jay Lee's the only one? Jay, I'd like to say
we're all counting on Jay.
I had a really good time being on this show, and I really look up to you quite a bit. I just want to be the first one to put that out there.
Well, we'll know.
The jackpot is so big, people are sucking up to people that play.
We'll know something's up if you're not at the show next
week.
Well,
I think the key to winning the lottery, not the key to actually succeeding. Yeah, the key
is getting the right number.
But
done in one.
The takeaway is
that's at least an important part.
You don't want to tell anyone that you've won. So when I show up in my solid gold leisure suit,
can you ask to have your name
Thanks, Larry.
Not
no.
publicized?
There are five or six states that allow you to collect anonymously. Texas is not one of them, but Texas will allow you. Which some anonymous state or some states don't allow this, but Texas does. Texas will allow you to establish a trust and let a representative of the trust pick up the money for you. So if you structure a trust such that it's like it'd be like a revocable trust or something. If you structure that such that one of the trustees is the can put money into the trust but not take it out or whatever, then you can have an attorney who has that power go and grab it for you without your name ever releasing. And since you don't have to
you
file
look at
that,
Jay Lee, not me. He's the ticket holder.
Yeah. You don't have to file that kind of trust with the state or whatever. Typically, you don't file trust with the state. They're not like locked in some office somewhere. It's just a document you create. There's no like public records request where somebody can be like, well, who owns the JLC trust or whatever. Like there's no, like you have those documents, you and your attorneys. So
it
that
should
would
be kind of hard
to
dodge the media attention too on this one, just it being so big. And
oh yeah, it's
going to
be ridiculous.
That's why you would the smart person like Lee was just saying, you know,
first
what you're supposed to do. Well, you go get well, and you go get a deposit box. Go get a deposit box, and don't tell anybody why you're getting it at the bank. You get it, and and take copies of the ticket and put the ticket away somewhere safe like that. Wait a couple months, and then get while your lawyers get your trust set up, and then get the money.
I think the law says you have up to a year to collect it.
That's good to know, because I would wait like 3 months when it was like, we only have like 89 days.
There's been a couple of jackpots, over $1 million that have gone unclaimed. So somebody bought the ticket and never cashed it in.
Yeah.
There was one where the guy, there was the winner, a guy walked into
the store
or something. And said he had the winning ticket, and then when they started talking to him and asking him some questions, then he left. And then a trust tried to cash the ticket, and it turned out that the guy behind it who had tried to cash it in the first place was somebody who was one of the security guys for the lottery.
Oh, geez.
He had rigged it.
If this is the guy you're talking about, he was an ex-security information director at one of the gaming commissions. And, yeah, so he figured out a way to get into the code before he was fired. But before he got fired, he figured out a way to get into the code and influence the random number generator.
Fired? I'd imagine he'd be prosecuted.
No, this
for
was
that.
Before. This was before. So he
no,
was,
it, yeah.
Yeah, he was asked to leave. He left on his own accord. For some reason, he separated from the company. But before he did, he messed with pretty much what the NSA is doing to a lot of the encryption stuff. He messed with the pseudo-random number generator to where he could predict what, you know, the probability of some numbers being better than others, and he would get his friends to buy banks of those numbers and win and cash in. So they eventually traced the money and caught on to him. But I think he did more than one. He had a good run. They busted him for one. I'm sure he said that's the only one, but now it's coming to light that it looked like he influenced multiple state lotteries.
I mean, wouldn't they know when he sells his house and buys 15 mansions and starts driving Lamborghinis?
I think he was somewhat safe, but money laundering, you know, I guess you can hire good lawyers. You can hire good lawyers too.
if you're unemployed, it's not like your quote coworkers are going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so. That's a good point too.
Yeah, well, so hopefully one of our listeners, hopefully one of our listeners would figure it out at some point. That the thing to me is, I think people don't understand how much money that is. You know, that how long it would really take. Again, unless you just did something stupid where you spend hundreds of millions of dollars in one shot, how long it would take to spend that on like a normal on the craziest life you could imagine, it would still take, you know, you could go and live in the penthouse presidential suite at some place where it's, you know, $25,000 a day, and that would still not would not mess with your balance, you know.
No, I don't.
25,000 times 365 is only that's under $10 million. And if you have $500 million, you could keep that up for a lot of years. For 50 years, you could do that.
Yeah, not really part of my life experience.
True.
That's weird.
True. Probably never will be. Well, and that's where it sort of gets crazy.
I'm going to run for president on a very divisive platform if I became that rich.
Don't tax Jay Lee.
Jay Lee rules platform.
Yeah. You're not out of touch enough to run for president, Jay.
Oh, I don't know. If I had that much money, I could get real out
of touch. You can go pretty off the deep end pretty quick. Stop having normal human being thoughts. Turn into crazy person.
Well, one of the good ways you could waste the money if you get it, so you've got hundreds of millions of dollars, is you could like hire James Cameron to make the comic book movie you've always dreamed of, whatever one it is.
Sort of along those lines, what you really need if you win is to hire like a posse, like, you know, a group of folks to follow you around to really insulate you
entourage.
From reality.
This kind of comes with the money.
Yeah, you need an entourage so that like no one says no to any of your ideas anymore.
Elvis.
It sort of gives you that break from reality.
MC
so
Hammer.
Elvis.
Ooh, the royal sand
no.
world.
Yeah. Yes.
If you have
strike for the chosen one.
Crazy
good, Jay.
Man.
Are you working out?
If you have a billion dollars, you can have Kanye West and the Kardashians follow you around.
Or for more, you could have them not.
Yeah.
First string.
The first sign that I've won the lottery will be this show is going to be auto-tuned.
All of us.
With a real engineer.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm going to fully restore my Cutlass.
Let's see if KJAY.
Have you gotten that car back?
Huh?
Have you gotten that car back?
Yeah. There's still some stuff that can be done.
No, they're still stitching.
But
up the
seats. If he puts the subwoofer back in the back of it, you know he won the lottery.
Drive up in the war rig from Mad Max.
All right, well, we're running out of time. Did we want to cover any of this last segment before we ran out?
Going to gas town.
No, we're right on that edge.
Really
on
unless we can get time to flow backwards.
Topical.
Which in some universes it could, but I guess you can read the article linked from our site if you.
You could.
So we got to spend another couple of minutes talking about winning the lottery.
Oh man.
Well, or I guess if we have enough time,
we've only got about 2 minutes. Well, actually, only one minute now before we kick the outro off.
Number.
So
okay. Well, we won't play. We won't play the bumper for it, but one thing that's the plus side of El Nino from Science News is that it could mean that there will be a below average number of tornadoes and hailstorms in the coming year.
But more torrential flooding and rain.
So all you people who are right now neck deep in the Mississippi, you can be thankful that in 2016 you might only get fewer tornadoes than before.
You
might only get 500 tornadoes. Basically, they're calling for a 54% chance of a below normal number of tornadoes and 71% chance of fewer than normal hailstorms. So at least you won't have to go get your waterlogged car.
Is that fewer than the new normal, or is that fewer than the previous normal?
I was just in one a couple of days ago.
Yeah, the new normal is that this happens a lot.
Did we have hail a couple of days ago?
Yeah, we had hail on Friday at the Geek Gathering.
I got pinned down underneath the freeway on the Russian Soviet steed sidecar, but still made it to the Geek Gathering because such was my desire to be there.
I bet that's probably pretty rough, getting hailed on the bike. That's one thing I never
thought of. Hail Baron.
It sounded a lot like what I can imagine would be like, you know, like Mauser rounds coming off, you know, that
Are you sure it was hail, or was it the dandruff sufferer support group meeting on the roof of cones?
No, that was before I got there.
Acknowledge joke.
Yes.
Nod.
Saved by the bell.
There we go.
Really dragging.
We're gonna let Groovehouse take us out.
No.
HD1, please. Full speed ahead.
All right. Well, you've been listening to something that closely resembles Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
out of here.
As we all are. Yay.
Mahatma Gandhi, apostle of peace and nonviolence, demonstrated to the world the effectiveness of nonviolent means for bringing about profound social changes and lasting peace. In his spirit, the Mahatma Gandhi Library was founded in 2002 with the mission to increase public awareness, especially to the children of Gandhian philosophy and teachings, highlighting the universal values of peace, truth, nonviolence, and love. The library has an exhaustive list of books, artifacts, and an exhibition on wheels consisting of authentic pictures depicting the life and times of Mahatma Gandhi. You can visit the library or find it online at gandhilibrary.org. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, kpft.org worldwide.
Your tax-deductible car donation helps make great radio. When you donate a car, truck, motorcycle, SUV, RV, or boat, we turn what is often a burden to many people into great educational programming. Proceeds from your vehicle donation benefit KPFT. Join others in your community by donating a car and helping create opportunities for local arts, music, and culture to flourish. Our car donation program offers fast, free pickup and towing from anywhere, an easy donation process, and an optimal charitable tax deduction. Call 1-855-573-8227 or visit kpft.org to donate. Again, that's 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org. Thank you. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.